It's Kevin McCullough on AM 970, The Answer.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, breaking news as it happens, what it means, and most importantly, why it matters.
Fusion.
Amplifying truth
and pursuing clarity.
Kevin McCullough, now.
So much to get to today. Some big news to end the week with that the president kind of initiated both yesterday, late in the day. And we start with the biggest story of all. Will he sit down one-on-one with Kim Jong-un? It looks like the table is set. Dr. Herb London is here to give us his thoughts. Stay with us.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
He is playing the role
as well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
President Trump has said for some time that he was open to talks and he would willingly meet with Kim Jong-un when conditions were right and the time was right. And I think in the president's judgment, that time has arrived now.
If you had asked me yesterday when we were winding things up at Kevin McCullough Radio in drive time, I would have told you that the president playing the Jedi mind trick that he did in his tariff announcement, which is, and I'm going to spend time on this today, which is really rather remarkable. People don't know this. The media completely missed the lead. No nation will be forced to pay a tariff if they don't wish to. But the president made it a genius move of making it their choice. I'll explain all this later. That would have been the number one story to talk about. But only a couple of hours after his tariff announcement came the bombshell that a sitting president of the United States will take a one-on-one meeting with the sitting dictator of North Korea. Now, in terms of historical proportionality, I don't know how you measure this. Maybe my first guest tonight has this understanding in his frame of reference, but I'm not exactly sure. Dr. Herb London is the head of the London Center for Policy Research, and he frequently joins us and helps us understand these things all that much better. Dr. London, welcome back.
Well, Kevin, always a pleasure to be with you. Thank you very much.
So how, in terms of just from a historical perspective, is this Nixon and China? Is this Kennedy and the Cuba Missile Crisis? What level of precedent does this set for the sitting president of the United States to agree to a one-on-one with a dictator like Kim Jong-un?
Look, I think that it's to some degree unprecedented. Churchill once made the comment, Georgia is better than World War. And I think that that is undoubtedly true. However, it's a little premature to make any judgments about its importance in world history. You do not know how things will unfold. Is this a propagandistic effort on the part of Kim Jong-un? Is there something that you can believe? If, in fact, there is going to be some sort of examination, yes, I think you want to trust, but can you verify? To go back to the old line that was used by Ronald Reagan. So
right.
Before anyone makes any judgments, I think it's a little early to be saying, well, you know something, this is really a rather historic moment. Yes, it's historic in the sense that the president is willing to engage in this conversation. But what comes of it remains to be seen.
There is going to be a lot of speculation between now and May, when the believed sit-down date is scheduled to take place, about the where, the how, the what, and the who will all be involved. But let me read to you something that Richard Nixon said in 1980. A president should go to a summit only if the stakes are worth the risks and if the meeting is thoroughly programmed in advance. No American president should go to a summit with an adversary unless he knows what is on the other side of the mountain. Is it your opinion, Dr. London, that Donald J. Trump is following Richard Nixon's advice or breaking new ground here?
I think he is undoubtedly following advice. I mean, if I were sitting in the White House today, I'd say to the president, please be absolutely sure you know exactly what it is you will ask for, and please be sure that before the meeting begins, there's agreement on what you will be discussing. If, in fact, you're going to be discussing the cessation of tests, that's one thing. If you're talking about the denuclearization of North Korea, that's another matter. They may even occur in steps. But it's important for the president to have a very clear idea of what will be achieved as a result of these negotiations. To go into it and think it's a kind of blue sky conversation is a terrible mistake.
Right. Well, and let me just ask for your reaction to his initial statement last night that both South Korea and the State Department and our Department of Defense all seem to reinforce, and that is that the president is insisting that this maximum pressure that they have applied stay in place. And the president went so far as to say absolutely zero activity on missiles between now and the meeting, if there's a hope to have this meeting. Your reaction on kind of the ground rules he's laid out that will be in force until this meeting occurs, if it is to occur?
Well, look, the president has to keep applying the pressure. I believe that it's very important that that continue. It's not only a question of the pressure. I think that the president's team, and this would be the negotiating team coming out of the State Department, has to have a very clear idea of what it is they want to achieve, a point that I tried to make earlier. It's not a question of going into that meeting saying, you know something, we really believe that the North Koreans have a kind of open view of this matter. They do not have an open view. They have a very clear idea of what they want to achieve. We have to have an equally clear idea about what we want to achieve. And that is very often a problem in the diplomatic circles. Very often the goal of diplomacy is the discussion itself. This should not be the case when we sit down with Kim Jong-un.
What will be interesting about this, Dr. London, is whether it is able to accomplish anything of significant status in terms of this agreement. Some people have said the mere freezing of tests and the mere freezing of a program is nowhere near enough to even entertain a conversation. The president used the word, as you did a moment ago, denuclearization. The South Korean president used the word denuclearization. What has brought Kim Jong-un to this place where he's at least holding out that carrot after so many years of just saying to the United States, go pound sand?
This is exactly the key point, Kevin, and very astute to bring it up. There are several things that are happening. Number one, I think he is feeling the pressure of sanctions. I think that what is happening is starting to have an effect. Two, the largest forgery operation in the world is conducted by North Korea. They generate a very sizable part of their cash flow from forged documents and forged currencies. Countries around the world are starting to catch up. They are understanding what defensive measures are necessary in order to deal with forgeries. And so a lot of the revenue that would come in as a result of this kind of illegal activity, that's been curtailed. And then number three, the Chinese, to some degree, and again, I would underscore the words, to some degree, have limited the amount of fuel that's going into North Korea. Without fuel, you don't have electricity. Without electricity, you don't have computers. Without computers, you're not sending any ICBMs to North America. So it is very, very clear that these three factors have come together at a particular moment in history to put enormous amount of pressure on Kim Jong-un. And if you don't have resources, you can't support. You can't support your technology, and obviously you can't support the infrastructure of your society.
There was a lot of criticism of President Trump early in his administration, Dr. London, where people would say that Mr. Tillerson in the State Department appeared to be saying one thing, and Mad Dog in the Defense Department seemed to be saying something else. And then sometimes you'd have the executive branch saying something, maybe a third layer of messaging. But at the time, I believe you and others were saying this is known as sandwich strategy, where they just continued to push all ends to the middle. And I'm just curious, are we now seeing the fruit of that?
Well, I think to some degree you are. I mean, look, I remember all of the liberal critics saying of the president, look, he speaks like a buffoon. He's saying your bum, our button is bigger than your button. And after all, this rocket man, this fat rocket man, and that kind of language, distinctly inappropriate from diplomatic channels. But what most people do not understand is that you're dealing with an adolescent in North Korea.
Right.
You're dealing with a person whose IQ may just be above room temperature. So, I mean, you're not dealing with someone who's very sophisticated. And in some sense, Donald Trump was speaking his language. I mean, as odd and as peculiar
well,
as that may sound.
It's not any more peculiar than the way he spoke the language of the Rust Belt during the election cycle when everybody else thought he was totally incapable of reaching those voters.
Exactly.
Dr. London, I get it. Hey, thank you for your analysis. We will be watching to see what occurs, and thank you for helping us understand it a little bit better today.
Kevin, always a pleasure to be with you. Thank you very much.
We've still got a big show on tap, friends. Much breaking news, major stories of the day. Do not go away. This is Kevin McCullough Radio.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
We have troubles in New Jersey this evening on the northbound turnpike. Truck lanes just to the north of exit 14 in Newark. It's a broken down truck in the center lane of travel, and that is why things are so bad there on the northbound side of the truck lanes. Car lanes also, for whatever reason, are pretty slow coming up towards the area where the Eastern and Western Spurs split. Southbound side of the Western Spur were jammed up basically top to bottom. Southbound Eastern Spur jammed from exit 17 down towards 15X, and the car and truck lanes are slow down to 13A and 13. Goffles Bridge is slow ride in both directions. Staten Island Expressway is jammed westbound of Verrazano over to the Goffles Bridge, so Goffles is one you want to avoid. The outer bridge crossing is not perfect, but definitely easing up on the approaches to the outbound side of that outer bridge crossing. We're looking at delays in the parkway in both directions, 135 up towards the area of exit 148. Across the Hudson, still close to an hour delay at the outbound Holland Tunnel, 45 minutes at the outbound Lincoln Tunnel, 20 to 30 on the city-bound side. It looks like the George Washington Bridge is your best bet into the city. And now you know how not to go. I am Mike Barker on AM 970, The Answer.
Wednesday afternoon, it's your information fast lane at AM 970, The Answer. Michael Medved blasts off at 3. Kevin McCullough, breaking news as it happens at 4. John Catsimatidis getting both sides of the story at 5. And Jay Sekulow, making news from the nation's capital at 6. Get your information super infusion every Wednesday. The stories you need and the analysis you trust. Only on AM 970, The Answer.
Have you ever had a legal question pertaining to elder law or estate law and wondered what's the best course of action to take? During Kevin McCullough Radio, you'll hear from Mike Connors of Connors & Sullivan, Attorneys at Law, answering a real listener's actual question. If you have a legal question for Mike Connors, the Ask the Lawyer host, simply email the question to mikeconnors@gmail.com. That's mikeconnors@gmail.com. Or call Mike's office at 718-238-6500 and see for yourself. That's Ask the Lawyer with Mike Connors every Saturday evening at 6 on AM 970, The Answer.
This is Michael Riedel of the New York Post. Now, don't miss my show, On the Town, every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock here on AM 970, The Answer. The show is brought to you by my favorite revival out there now, Hello, Dolly, that great Jerry Herman musical, winner of 4 Tony Awards, including Best Revival. And it has a new Dolly in Bernadette Peters, who is one of my favorite Broadway stars. My friend Charles Isherwood in the New York Times says Bernadette Peters is indelible in the history of musical theater. I heartily agree. So don't miss Bernadette Peters in Hello, Dolly. To get tickets, go to Hello, Dolly. On Broadway.com.
You know, I bet you don't spend much time thinking about your circulation, but you really should. Larry Elder here. Here's why. Good circulation is crucial to energy and stamina. It gets oxygen and nutrients flowing throughout your body so you can exercise longer, do more everyday activities, and recover more quickly. So what can you do to promote healthy circulation? Drink Super Beets. Super Beets promotes the body's own natural ability to produce healthier circulation for increased energy and stamina all day long. I drink it every single day. Only Super Beets is made from beets grown to exacting standards, then concentrated into superfood crystals. So if you want to improve your circulation, do as I do, drink Super Beets every single day. 800-996-3406 or go to elderbeets.com. With your first order, get another 30-day supply of Super Beets free, plus indicator strips to see how Super Beets is working for you, and free shipping. So call 800-996-3406 or go to elderbeets.com today. 800-996-3406, elderbeets.com. Today.
You're invited to tune in to Jewish News Night with host Larry Gordon, editor and publisher of the Five Towns Jewish Times, Saturday night at 9, featuring analysis and dialogue on matters of interest to the worldwide Jewish community. That's Saturday night at 9 on AM 970, The Answer.
Don't miss the new afternoon drive show, Cats at Night, with John Catsimatidis, Wednesdays at 5 p.m., exclusively on AM 970, The Answer. In the air of the cat.
Tweet us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. We're everywhere. AM970TheAnswer.com.
Breaking news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
America will remain open to modifying or removing the tariffs for individual nations as long as we can agree on a way to ensure that their products no longer threaten our security.
And he went on to say that nations could be added, taken away from the list, and that the tariffs, in fact, could be negotiated by every single nation on planet Earth. Friends, it's one of the reasons why I predicted yesterday, and I have documented again today in my column at townhall.com, that the president is one of the most masterful negotiators in American history, particularly amongst American presidents. I think both the North Korean story and the tariff story point to this today. But we're going to let the North Korean story play out. But friends, the media should have been running with the headline last night. No nation will be required to pay the tariffs. And all these free traders like Jeff Flake and others could have just taken a deep breath and tried to control themselves. Here with some reaction to all of this is Kayleigh McEnany. She is the spokesperson for the Republican National Committee and often joins us on Fridays, and we are thankful to have her back. Hello, Kayleigh.
Hey, great to join you, Kevin.
So why didn't the media run with the big headline from yesterday? Not only are we saving jobs, and I know the argument there. They say, well, you're going to save the production jobs, but other manufacturing jobs may be in jeopardy. We don't know how that's going to play out yet. And the national security certainly is a big element. But no one reported the idea, no one ran with the headline, that these tariffs could actually be avoided completely by simply another nation saying, okay, we're going to deal fairly with the U.S. Kayleigh McEnany, what's your response?
Of course they didn't report that, because it's always negative when it comes to President Trump. I mean, I look at, you have even the AFL-CIO president, of course, president of the biggest federation of unions, Richard Trumka, not necessarily a fan of Republican policies, typically. He said yesterday, you know, when Barack Obama leveled sanctions, or rather tariffs, against nine countries on steel, there was no one saying, trade war, trade war. They were saying, they're cheating, this has to be done. Of course, it's a different standard for President Trump. And as you mentioned, the key optimal point of all of this is what you hit on in your column, the fact that no country will have to pay this if they come to the table and remedy their imbalances with the United States, either on trade or if they're not paying militarily into, you know, NATO, for example, or if they're being unfair to us on the world stage in some way. They won't have to pay if they just come to the table and engage in a fair outcome for our country.
Kayleigh, I was blown away. I mean, I thought he had a strategy going into the tariff discussion, but I was blown away at how brilliant this is, because it is the ultimate Jedi mind trick that he just pulled with just one issue, with just this issue. He basically said to the global economy, you've cheated America for the last many decades. He's been talking about it for 25 years. With this litmus test, if you will, you will either join us or you will be against us. But we will have a clear understanding as to what kind of relationship you want with us. And he's not prejudicing this in any way, Kayleigh. Our allies, our enemies, everybody across the globe has the same playing field. If you want access to American markets, you have to give us equal reciprocal opportunity in your markets.
Absolutely. It's basic fairness, fairness for the American factory worker whose jobs have been hemorrhaged over the years because of these unfair and equitable trade deals. It's fairness to the American people. We're a nation that doesn't produce things anymore. We're a nation that needs to produce things. And one of the reasons we're not producing largely is because you look at the status quo, where if we send a car to China, we're hit with a 25% tariff. If they send one to us, it's 2.5%. You know, it's obviously not fair. It discourages us from making and producing, and we need to be an economy that not only provides services but also provides goods. And you only do that, you only create jobs, you only create products when you equalize the playing field.
I never really realized how much of, because I always kind of adopted the free trade mantra in my advocacy past, Kayleigh, but this issue and these tariffs and this particular circumstance where we realize we're $800 billion under on the deficit of the trade issue really opened my eyes. And you know what was really hurtful is that a lot of Republican presidents that I've supported in the past helped advance this ball down the field as badly as the liberal liberal Democrats that I've opposed in the past. And when I have the ability to see for the first time kind of the objective peeling back of this and what it means, it's a miracle we've gotten this far, to be candid with you, in terms of how well our nation is still holding up. Who negotiated a 25% or a 10 times difference, penalty between us and China? Well, it had to be multiple administrations over multiple years.
It's a great question. And this is the first president. Reagan, of course, leveled a few tariffs here and there, but this is really the first president who has made, as a part of his platform, making and equalizing our position in the world trade.
Right.
You know, making us, putting, as I mentioned, the factory worker first. This is what the president ran on. He's really the first president to point out this disparity. And it's something he's been pointing out going back to the 1980s when he was talking about Japan dumping cheap goods in our market. This is a president that is intensely proud of this country. And he wants us to succeed, not just in foreign policy and be the strongest on earth. He wants us to succeed in trade and economically vis-a-vis our neighbors, our allies, and our friends. And I love that about him. He wants us to be the best, and anything short of that is unacceptable.
Well, I really want people to be armed with these arguments, because starting with the NAFTA agreement and renegotiating that, we're immediately going to get better terms from Canada and Mexico because they don't want to pay these prices coming in. Our European allies may not like taking the hard look at the fact that we defend a lot of them, but we're doing it, they're paying us 25 cents to a dollar of what it cost us. And I think stepping up, and, you know, he signaled this at NATO. He signaled this all across his campaign. None of this should be a surprise. I guess I am a little bit perturbed with some of my own center-right and, Republican friends that are going so hard against this. Jeff Flake is out today saying, Kaylee, that he wants to introduce legislation that would, in effect, nullify this reaction. What should our response be to that?
Well, first, it's no secret that Jeff Flake is one of the handful of never-Trumpers out there. He tends to dislike everything the president does. I think it comes down to personal reasons, not necessarily policy on a lot of these things. But that aside, you know, our response needs to be this. We have to make goods. National security matters. We don't produce the kind of aluminum we need to make fighter jets. We have one factory that does so. We've got to increase our ability to defend our nation and protect our workers.
No, it's true. And just the promise he made to rebuilding our military supplies, our tanks, our planes, our ships, many of them are in disrepair. They need help. We've got to be able to do that from our own stock. And I'm so thankful that he's going down this path. Kaylee McEnany, thank you as always for your insight. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Kevin.
Kevin McCullough, if you want to read the column, it is three significant things that the media is not telling you about Trump's tariffs that they should be telling you. It's at Town Hall right now. Number one column on the site. Go check it out for yourself. This is Kevin McCullough.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970, The Answer.
We have partly cloudy skies. We sit at 41 degrees on this Friday evening. What's going on? We have the answer. Standing at the Brooklyn intersection where an infant and a toddler were struck and killed by a car on Monday, State Senator Jesse Hamilton joined other lawmakers to support legislation that would require doctors to inform local DMVs if a patient has a serious medical issue.
If a person has a chronic illness, the doctor should be required, mandated, to report to the Department of Motor Vehicles that this person may be impaired and should not be driving.
Dorothy Bruns, the driver in Monday's crash, had a medical issue that they say should have prevented her from getting behind the wheel. The head of Con Edison is responding to complaints over the company's efforts after the recent nor'easters. Lisa G has more.
Con Ed CEO John McAvoy says the utility is doing everything it can despite loud complaints it hasn't done enough to fix power outages in Westchester County.
Our response is that we are laser focused on the restoration of our customers in a safe and as fast as possible manner.
Westchester County Executive George Latimer, along with other local officials and residents, complained they needed answers. Thousands still remain without power after the recent nor'easters, and another possible nor'easter is in the forecast for next week. Lisa G., NBC News Radio, New York.
In sports, the Knicks are in Milwaukee tonight to battle the Bucks. Nets have the night off. The Rangers, the Islanders, and the Devils have the night off, too, in hockey. Taking a look at the traffic in New Jersey, Parkway north and south from 135 in Clark up towards 145 in South Orange. That's a pretty slow ride. Turnpike northbound truck lanes at exit 14 in Newark. A broken down truck in the center lane of travel. And watch out for a crash on the Parkway now. Just getting this in. Southbound at exit 163 in Paramus. A close to an hour delay outbound at the Holland Tunnel. 20 minutes on the city-bound side. 30 to 40 minutes each way at the Lincoln. Cloudy skies tonight. Chance of a shower, low 33. Mostly sunny tomorrow, high of 45. And Sunday looks good, too. And now you know what's going on. I am Mike Barker on AM 970, The Answer.
Have you ever had a legal question pertaining to elder law or estate law and wondered what's the best course of action to take? During Kevin McCullough Radio, you'll hear from Mike Connors of Connors & Sullivan, Attorneys at Law, answering a real listener's actual question. If you have a legal question for Mike Connors, the Ask the Lawyer host, simply email the question to mikeconnors@gmail.com. That's mikeconnors@gmail.com. Or call Mike's office at 718-238-6500 and see for yourself. That's Ask the Lawyer with Mike Connors every Saturday evening at 6 on AM 970, The Answer.
Tired of dealing with dummies? Experience the smart way to buy a car at Route 22 Toyota. No hidden fees, no back and forth, no pressure, and no wasting time with dummies. Alex Kinsella, the general manager, prides himself on his low, low lease offers and 0% APR financing for up to 72 months for qualified buyers. And now my buddy Alex wants you to experience their new smart way to service. He's taking the same smart approach that's been so successful in selling cars into the service bay. So he said, Joe, I'm going to let you give the first five callers in the next 5 minutes a free multi-point inspection and oil change and filter if they call 855-621-9949 and say, Joe sent me. 855-621-9949 in the next 5 minutes. Get a free oil change and filter on me. 855-621-9949 and say, this one's on Joe. Route 22 Toyota, Route 22 West in Hillside, New Jersey, or at Route22Toyota.com. Tell them Joe sent you for the free oil change. All European makes excluded.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. New York is nearly impossible to afford. And just when Washington cuts our taxes, Governor Cuomo's budget would snatch that savings away from us. It makes life more expensive with $1 billion in taxes on everything from health care to online shopping. Reclaim New York Initiative says enough is enough. Stop the lies. Stop the waste. Stop hiking taxes. Go to ReclaimNYNow.org. Tell your legislators, stop the billion-dollar tax bomb. ReclaimNYNow.org. O-R-G.
Breaking news and local news. Find it on our website, am970theanswer.com.
What you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, I'm so thankful that you could be here. Just this reminder, I've got a brand new piece up at townhall.com today, and I would really like it if you would take a look at it. Yesterday, with the president announcing that he is, in fact, going to put tariffs on countries that send us their steel and aluminum, if they don't meet certain criteria, has caused a bit of saber rattling in the Congress and in the Senate. Republicans are saying that he needs to be opposed on this. Democrats seem to like the idea. They always have. Unions are very favorable to things that make the jobs here, particularly in blue collar areas, more accessible. And this is the right thing to do. This is the right thing to do because the president has made it very clear that he is going to focus on trying to improve the lives of Americans along those lines. So anyway, townhall.com. Three things the media is not telling you about Trump's tariffs that they should be. You can go read it for yourself. Along those lines, new labor statistics out today. More than 313,000 jobs created. They beat the estimates of what everybody was expecting that they would make. And the unemployment rate stayed at a 17-year low, 4.1%, meaning that we have a very stable job market. There are more and more people getting work. There are fewer and fewer people needing work. This is all tremendous news. And as these tariffs begin to kick in, or the energy from the tariffs begin to kick in, you're going to see more production jobs open up soon as well. So interesting, just numbers, but they are real, and they're having an impact on people. There's some other numbers I ran across today that I'm really rather miffed about, and I want to be all transparent on this. But Bree Payton, who writes for The Federalist, was the first one to report it, but I saw it echoed in several other places. American taxpayers have paid more than $1.5 billion in tax money over the last three-year period for one specific activity. $1.5 billion. Now, just so you understand what that is a one and a five. And let's see, eight zeros following it. That's how many dollars we as American taxpayers have paid towards this one specific activity. According to a new study by the Government Accountability Office, a lot of the funding came through Department of Health and Human Services. Some came from the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID. But the report that was released stated that four of the five organizations that got the biggest checks courtesy of the American taxpayers were actually referred to the Department of Justice for ongoing criminal investigations as it relates to this very money. So just to be clear, we gave $1.5 billion in tax dollars, you and I, every one of you listening to me right now, you paid for this. It got shuffled through Department of Health and Human Services and U.S. Agency for International Development. It was given to organizations inside of America, and of one organization, four of their five biggest locations that got the biggest checks were then referred to the Department of Justice for ongoing criminal investigations. Now, supposedly, we have federal taxpayer laws that are supposed to bar any of this from happening. We have federal tax laws that are supposed to prevent our tax money from being funneled this way to organizations that do what these organizations do, and now they're in potential criminal legal trouble for it. None of this is supposed to be happening. This tells you how lax the accountability has been and why this study by the Government Accountability Office is rather necessary. If you want to get it a little bit more clear, you and I and our tax dollars over the last 3 years have paid for the execution of 1,161,000 children through this activity. That's what this money was used for. It went to Planned Parenthood, which commingles money. But the laws on the books that say you can't use tax money for abortions puts them in jeopardy. That's why they're getting criminal referrals. By the way, that means you and I paid $1,291 for every child that we helped kill. How do you like that, America?
Buying a home requires a lending partner who can help you navigate through the mortgage process. A Citizens Bank loan officer can help answer all your questions and help you select the products you need in a clear and personal way. So the next time you have a question about home financing, call 212-857-6668, 212-857-6668, and ask a Citizen. Mortgages are offered and originated by Citizens Bank N.A., NMLS number 433960, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Most powerful lesson I ever learned about the power of precious metals comes from the $20 gold piece. Do you know about it? The $20 one-ounce gold St. Gaudens coin that Landmark Capital is giving away a number of years ago was only worth $20. In fact, if you had a $20 bill and $20 gold piece, you could go to the finest haberdashery in Manhattan and buy a man's suit with it. Now, you can still buy the suit with the $20 gold piece. You can also buy it with the value of the suit. But you can't use a $20 bill to get it anymore. That's just how valuable gold is. And right now, Landmark Capital wants you to win a 1 ounce gold piece, $20 St. Gaudens coin, on April the 2nd. We're going to pull the winning name on March the 31st on my show. So go online now to register. You're also going to get the $180 survival financial kit for 2018 as well when you register. Go online and register for your free gold coin, am970theanswer.com. Go now, am970theanswer.com. That's am970theanswer.com.
An analytical chemist, one in West Caldwell, New Jersey, is wanted. Duties include test raw materials, in-process prototype formulation drug production, finished production submitted and or produced by development lab and contract manufacturer using USP/NF, EP, JP, or other compendial methods. Participate in method transfer and method development activities as dictated by project scope of the analytical lab. Must have Master's of Science degree in chemistry with a specialization in pharmaceutical chemistry and 1 year experience as an analytical chemist. Knowledge in pharma QC, including using Waters HPLC, Distech Dissolution Apparatus, Nicolet Avatar 370 Infrared Spectrometer, Malvern Laser-Based Particle Size Analyzer, and Gas Chromatograph is required. This position is classified as a safety-sensitive position and subject to random drug testing. 40 hours per week, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Must have proof of legal authority to work in the U.S. to be considered. Email resume to humanresources@quadgenpharmaceuticalsllc@h-rquadgenpharma.com. Job number 201702074.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie. Don't hang up. You need to hear this. You gotta quit wearing that aviator jacket. Nobody's buying it. I'm sorry you have to hear it from me, but at Progressive, we're all about giving it to people straight. That's why we show our rates alongside our competitors' rates. And when you're helping people find great rates, you don't need some jacket to look cool. Just keep rocking that scarf.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparisons not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
There's a real easy way to give your home a fresh new look for 2018. I want you to look at the shades, the curtains, the shutters, maybe the Venetian blinds you have in your home. Are they a little dusty? Time for an upgrade? Go to selectblinds.com. I love these guys. They make it so easy to install and score huge savings on blinds. Say goodbye to those old window treatments and say hello to some of the products you've seen on all your favorite home improvement shows. Selectblinds.com is an interior makeover essential. For an unbelievable price, you can get new shades, shutters, curtains, any kind of window treatment in your home from selectblinds.com. I love these guys. They've got the most online reviews and five-star ratings on the planet. They have more than a million satisfied customers. I'm one of them. I love doing business with these guys. To get the best deals on blind shades and shutters, just shop now at selectblinds.com. Mention the Mike Gallagher Show at checkout using the drop-down menu. Selectblinds.com. Upgrade your home today with selectblinds.com.
Listen to us anywhere. TuneIn.com. iHeartRadio.com. Get the app at AM97TheAnswer.com. Happening in New York or across the globe. Learn why it matters first on Kevin McCullough Radio.
So glad you're with us. And on Friday, we love to take a little time and look at the weekend and say, hey, what's going on? What can you get involved with? It's one of the reasons why we've got Mr. Huckabee in the other hour of the show that I do. And in this hour, we usually try to talk to the last living Broadway columnist. He is an extinguished, an extinct species, I say.
Extinguished. You're killing me right now.
You haven't
now.
Died yet, Michael Riedel.
You're extinguishing me out of
the
air.
When some of that news came out a couple of weeks ago, I remember one general manager rolling his eyes. But anyway, we won't talk about that at this point. We are fortunate to have Michael Riedel hanging out with us for a few more weeks at AM 970 The Answer. And he, of course, hosts the On the Town broadcast on Saturday mornings.
It's here till end of June, so I'm not going anywhere anytime soon, Kevin.
Yeah. Well, so
you're extinguishing me and pushing me out the door this afternoon. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
You know what they say about radio? From now to June 30, that's like a lifetime.
There's
like four or five things that could happen between now and then. So.
You got it.
So. Anyway, hey, it's good to have you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I didn't get to get your take on what you thought about all that Oscar nonsense, but pretty low-rated broadcast, and lots of kind of, I don't know, odd, goofy things they did, like shooting hot dogs out of hot dog cannons you know, unsuspecting movie watchers. What was your take on the whole thing?
Well, all that stuff, when they mix with the hoi polloi, that really bothers me, because it's basically the really rich Hollywood celebrities who live in the bubble. For one moment, they're going to go surprise those regular people sitting there, and those regular people in their jeans and their t-shirts, and we glamorous people are going to deign to allow ourselves to be touched by them.
It's the royalty version with the peasants.
I find it so condescending, and yeah. I really was sitting there thinking, we need a Madame Defarge here from A Tale of Two Cities. Off with their heads. Round up those elites, put them in the tumbrils, and take them up to the guillotine.
Well, that's kind of what's kind of cool about Broadway, in that, like, the stars are well known, but if you run into one at a diner somewhere in Midtown, they'll usually say hi, sign your thing, and go on. Like, it's not the looky, no touchy kind of feel that Hollywood has.
No, look, I mean, you know, my friend, the actor Brian Dennehy, once he put it best to me. He said, look, when you're in a TV show or in a movie, they treat you like you're 5 years old. The car will pick you up, Mr. Dennehy, at 6 o'clock. Do you take skim milk in your cafe latte? Do you take whole milk? Do you take 2%? Would you want a vegetarian quesadilla or a meat quesadilla for lunch? Then Brian said, when you're in a play, when you're in the theater, you got to get your ass to the stage door at 7:30 and go on and do the work. There's no pampering and hand-holding going on when you're in the theater. So that's why a lot of theater people are much more accessible and really don't condescend to fans the way I think sometimes the Hollywood people do.
Well, and it can all go away in a blink. So if your show's not doing well and you got to find more work. I mean, I just think there's a hunger at Broadway that there doesn't seem to be in the at least the very high end echelon. You know, the other thing that kind of bothers me about the Oscars, Michael, and I know that Broadway has had some degree of familiarity with this because, you know, there was a certain time when family really wasn't the target audience of Broadway, and then Disney came in and kind of changed all that.
Yep.
But the Oscars seem to be increasingly irrelevant. There are movies that some people have never even seen that get nominated for Best Picture. And meanwhile, the really big blockbusters that did, you know, millions and millions and millions of tickets get almost no accolades at all. And I think it has to do with this desire for Hollywood to see itself in a certain way.
Yeah, also I think there are too many nominees. I don't know how many, 10 movies are nominated or something like that. I remember when it was 4, and most of the country saw those 4 movies, but I only saw a couple of the 10 that were nominated, so I don't really have much of a dog in the fight. I liked Get Out a lot, and I liked Call Me By My Name, but those were the only ones that I saw, so it's just not, we're not watching the Oscars for this intense competition, because a lot of the movies, a couple of them I never even heard of before, so the excitement is not there anymore. I also think the telecast is pretty poorly structured. You begin with the best supporting actor and actress, and then you've got about 3 hours of, you know, some animated movie from Azerbaijan or something like that, or, you know, there's 16 different documentary categories of movies no one will ever see, and then technical people deserve their moment on stage, I grant you that, but nobody really cares about sound design and this kind of design and that sort of design, so I think they need to rethink the structure of the telecast.
Yeah, and then, of course, like I said, have some familiarity with what's being nominated. Now, I did see Darkest Hour and Dunkirk both, and I thought that they were both really well done.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to see them, but I hear they're quite good. And Gary Oldman's supposed to be extraordinary as Winston Churchill.
He was phenomenal. It was one of the best Churchills I've ever seen played. And that ties into one other category. You had the whole Me Too, Time's Up, political, like everything has to be uber, uber politically expressed now. And it's all very hardcore left of center, and there's no even balance. Even when Gary Oldman gets up and says, you know, I'm thankful that America has treated me well, or when Emma Stone says, you know, tonight we honor four men and Greta, what's her name, and then she's pummeled because she didn't acknowledge that one of the four men was African American and one of the four men was Hispanic. I mean, the virtue signaling is a little. I'm kind of over it. Really, really kind of over it.
I thought the Oscars weren't as political as I feared that they would be. I was glad we didn't have a lot of big political speeches. And I thought Frances McDormand gave a very good speech, and you know, a lot of the Hollywood thugs, the Harvey Weinsteins, have treated women very badly out there in Hollywood. So I'm glad that
we don't condone any of that,
absolutely,
and I'm all in favor of standing up for it. I just, I don't know. It just seemed a little over the top to me. That's just my opinion. I'm just, you know, one guy.
You are a talk radio host. You're supposed to have an opinion.
Now, you speaking of the Oscars, you've written about Three Billboards, which was the playwright. The film did well. You mentioned McDormand. She won for the award. But he's not going to get his Broadway show. And you had reported on this earlier that he might. So what happened?
Martin McDonagh, a really terrific screenwriter and playwright, he wrote a very fine play that's off Broadway at the Atlantic Theater called Hangmen. And there was a lot of talk it was going to move to Broadway because it got rave reviews. And I loved it. It's terrific. And it's not going to go, though, for various reasons. But not this season, but they're going to try to get it there next year on Broadway. So keep your eyes open for Martin McDonagh's Hangmen. It's a really interesting play about somebody who was an executioner in Britain.
What's up on the town in the morning?
Tomorrow, I've got my friend Imogen Lloyd Webber on. We're talking about this revival of Hello, Dolly! That just reopened with Bernadette Peters, and she's sensational in the lead.
All right, check him out, 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, only on AM 970, The Answer. If you're listening anywhere else in the country, you can get it on the app or online. I encourage you to do that, and please go there. Michael Riedel, always a pleasure to have you, sir.
I'm always scared of this ominous music you play, Kevin.
Stay with us.
Thank you.
Kevin McCullough Radio.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
We are looking at some pretty heavy volume here on the northbound side of Route 17 in Upper Berkeley County, New Jersey, from Spring Street and Ramsey right on up towards 287 in Mahwah. There's an accident along the way over on the shoulder. The real culprit here is a snow squall moving through that's preventing some visibility. It's reducing visibility quite a bit there on 17 and also on 287. So making that turn and going from 17 north back onto 287 south, use extreme caution on that really tight horseshoe ramp. That's a very slippery ramp at this point, I'm being told. Once you make that transition, a little volume on 287, heading down towards exit 66, then the pace will pick up for you. Farther down the line on 287, we're looking at delays through Hanover, down through Morristown, and northbound, we're looking at delays coming into Interstate 80. Parkway jammed up in both directions, 145 to 135, across the Hudson River. If you're coming into town, the George Washington Bridge, really not a bad choice for you at this point. We're looking at about a 10-minute wait. Holland Tunnel, 20 minutes inbound, but 45 to 60 on the way back to New Jersey, and 45 to 60 each way at the Lincoln Tunnel. And now you know how not to go. I am Mike Barker on AM 970, The Answer.
Have you ever had a legal question pertaining to elder law or estate law and wondered what's the best course of action to take? During Kevin McCullough Radio, you'll hear from Mike Connors of Connors & Sullivan, Attorneys at Law, answering a real listener's actual question. If you have a legal question for Mike Connors, the Ask the Lawyer host, simply email the question to mikeconnors@gmail.com. That's mikeconnors@gmail.com. Or call Mike's office at 718-238-6500 and see for yourself. That's Ask the Lawyer with Mike Connors every Saturday evening at 6 on AM 970, The Answer.
Balance of Nature's Fruits and Veggies.
I'm Mark Gastineau. I played in the NFL for 10 years. I was diagnosed with CTE, with dementia, Alzheimer's, and Parkinson's. The fruits and vegetables that we take from Balance of Nature is the best thing that we could ever do. And I'm calling in now to order extra because of my wife has been taking mine because she sees a difference in me. It is a wonderful thing that Balance of Nature is doing. I hear the testimonies on the radio, but I'm a testimony for myself. And the fruits and vegetables, if I don't take them every single day, my day is not going to go the same. So God bless you, and thank you for what you've done for my wife and I.
When you call, use discount code THEANSWER, and we'll take 35% off your first month's order and ship it to you free. Call 800-246-8751 or go online to balanceofnature.com and use discount code THEANSWER.
It's an amazing song.
You know, I've never told anybody my story.
From Irwin Brothers Entertainment comes I Can Only Imagine.
When I was 11 years old, life was tough.
On March 16th, discover the untold story behind the beloved song that inspired millions.
My dad was a monster, and I saw God transform him. So I wrote this song for my dad.
I Can Only Imagine. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. In theaters March 16th. Go to IcanOnlyImagine.com.
Jay Sekulow Live is next on AM 970, The Answer. What what you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
So glad to have you with us every single day here at Kevin McCullough Radio, where we try our hardest to help illuminate your mind, help to obliterate confusion, amplify truth, pursue clarity. It's all part of the equation. And part of that is telling the facts that no one else tells. Just ran across this one from the WRAL TechWire site late yesterday. But, you know, we were talking about the tariffs. We've been talking about the economy. We've been talking about the different things that are impacting jobs. And, the tariff discussion, a lot of it is, will this be a tax on consumer goods? I believe that there's going to be so much benefit to what they're doing that it's going to offset that. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Stephen Moore, maybe Larry Kudlow are right. Maybe Kevin McCullough is wrong. We'll wait and see. By the way, if you want to read the real lead of the story from yesterday, go to townhall.com and read the number one trending article on the site. It's my column today that tells you why the lead from Trump's announcement yesterday should have been something very different than the way the media wrote it. But there's this other, and two other things. There's two great movies coming out soon I want you to see. One is about the life of the Apostle Paul. Jim Caviezel stars as Dr. Luke. And then the guy that plays Paul is the guy from Game of Thrones and a couple of other things. But it looks like the interaction between the two characters is just phenomenal. Haven't seen it yet. I did get a sneak peek at the film I Can Only Imagine, which is based on the writing of that song came about, what the backstory was to it. And I'm going to tell you, it's one of the best films that I've ever seen in terms of how they tell the story of how a song came into being. And if you're a dad, it's really going to rip your heart out. It certainly did mine. Anyway, go see them. They're out soon. And for more information, check the website of this radio station to see for yourself. Okay, finally, back when the bonuses were being announced by the different companies, you remember that? How many companies were going to pay a $1,000 bonus at the end of the year and how many more were going to give an increase in pay and so forth? Well, it is remarkable now that according to the WRAL TechWire, approximately 40% of all companies across America are planning to step up hiring as a result of the tax reform policies. This was just reported yesterday. And the optimism index rose to over 71 points on a 100-point scale in the annual quarter or the quarterly survey, which ended on March 2nd. First time it's broken the 70% barrier in some years. This is according to the Duke University CFO Global Business Outlook Index, which rates optimism on the economy nationwide. Friends, be of good cheer. There is good news ahead. I'm Kevin McCullough. We'll see you next time.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970, The Answer.